that's when I saw myself, you know, giving up the crown. It felt really good because I saw the legacy, and I saw that one person that should be stepping in my shoes, and it was a no-brainer.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast in Riga, Latvia, celebrating women in tech around the world. I'm so excited to be featuring one of my favorite entrepreneurs. She is powerful. She's dynamic. She's a leader. She's creative. She's loyal. She's a team player. She is just extraordinary. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, Esprit.
Hi. So I've been waiting to do this interview with you forever because I so admire the work that you've done in the tech world and the work that you've done in community and helping build up Riga to be the startup city that it is like becoming today, where people around the world are flying in and taking notice. You have one of the most prominent conferences called Tech Chill here in Riga. It just happened. You had companies, executives from companies like AngelList and the top investors in the world all come in to speak at Tech Chill. It's really, really exciting. So go ahead, tell everybody, introduce yourself to everybody, tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do and about the new company that you're creating.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me here.
Of course.
I'm also very excited to be speaking with you. So let me give you a bit of like a quick pitch about myself. So I've been in the tech scene for about 6 years now, and it all dates back to the point of my life where when I was living in Lisbon for a year, and I went to Startup Weekend Festival. At first, I thought it was a music festival, but then I realized it was all about innovation, technology companies, entrepreneurship, and living with this global mind of view. And it got me very, very interested. So I went back, and I immediately started to look up on internet what's happening in Latvia. So because this is where I come from. And I Googled, and there was literally one organization that was, serving as a focal point for all the Latvian internet companies at that time, and tech entrepreneurs in general. It was called Tech Hub Riga. And it turned out I needed help. And I applied for an internship.
No.
Yes.
Really?
I applied for an internship. And they took me in. And so I ended up to be working at Tech Hub Riga, which was for me as a first acceleration phase to tap into what's the tech ecosystem about. And so I learned there a lot. I consider this whole journey in Tech Hub Riga as something that, built me up where I am these days. So it kind of like it gave me the launch pad that was very much needed in terms of the understanding, how it works, what are the other ecosystem builders involved, what are their roles, how is a tech company in general forming, and what's the entrepreneurial mindset behind it. So, I owe to the guys who were mentoring me a lot, and they're still very, very close friends of mine. So, back in that time, there was also already Tech Chill happening, and it was just a small meetup but of 250 people, zero international experience, only like a couple of keynote speakers still coming to here, and it was still a success. But soon enough, I understood that if we want to be competitive enough in the market of Europe, and we want to have the foreign talent coming in, and we want to have the smart capital coming in, we just have to represent ourselves as best as possible, because the competition about the foreign talent these days, especially in Europe, is just massive. And if we haven't built Tech Chill foundation up to date where it is, I'm sure we wouldn't have such a strong presence in Europe. So I'm really happy about it. So yeah, at that point, I understood if we want to be competitive, we have to sort of like create the organization, which is still a nonprofit one and serves the right values, with the main goal of bringing Latvian and Baltic tech out there and serving as an international voice for our entrepreneurs here.
But you went from being an intern at Tech Hub to being the CEO of TechChill.
Yeah.
And you didn't have previous experience being the CEO of another company.
Zero.
How did you become a CEO?
I was like, at first, actually, it was quite hard for me to acknowledge, because when we started TechChill Foundation as a separate union, apart from TechHub Riga, it was 4 years now ago. At first, it was really weird for me, because there was me, Andris, and Ernest as co-founders, and I was sort of like the head of the whole thing. And I was just so young, and I have never been a CEO before, and the name itself felt very weird for me.
Right.
Yeah, but it happened, because, you know, the more I grew, the more I understood that I'm actually, you know, doing it all. I'm building, it's a nonprofit one, but it feels like startup, because you have to know everything about anything. You have to build a company, you have to build a culture in it, you have to build a team, the financials, the marketing part, the sales part, the product, the most important part, the platform that we are building, you know. And with time, I understood that, you know, I just need to take care of myself and build my own brand as a person as well, to inspire everyone else.
What kind of resources did you access in the beginning in order to build the confidence and the insights to know how to do the role of a CEO?
I had really close mentors. The same guys and girls from TechHub Riga, who kind of like lifted me up, and if I needed an advice or something, they were always there. We used to go and are still going with a couple of those guys still for dinners and for lunches, for 101s, just to catch up. So I feel it was about them giving back to the community and raising like the next generation of entrepreneurs and making sure that we have the continuity in the generations.
And what would you say is a huge obstacle that you successfully overcame during that time in becoming the CEO you eventually became?
I feel like one of the most important parts was for me to sort of understand for myself that I have something to deliver. Like, I have something to say. I have my own messages and my own missions to show to the Baltic states or the world in general, you know? Mm-hmm. And at that moment when I started to speak up, because I have been in the scene for a while now and I have my own opinion about how the things are going and how should them be going, at that moment when I understood that I have something to tell and I have the opinion, I started to own the role itself.
And how long did that take?
About 2 years.
Two years?
About 2 years for me to be very, very comfortable with everything, what's happening. But it also, you know, at the very beginning, it was just a small team. It was like, you know, three people, maybe full time. Like right now, it's 15 people. And it just, you know, in the very beginning, I was not a CEO. I was just, you know, a team player. As soon as the team started to grow, I had to become someone else.
Was it 2 patient years or was it 2 years that wouldn't go fast enough?
No, those were 2 patient years because I needed to know that I have something to say for my own.
Right.
And I needed to build my own state of mind towards where I stand. And I'm not that person who will, you know, jump for attention or be someone who she is not.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel the most comfortable possible.
Yeah.
And at the very end of it, I did feel it. Like,
and I mean, it's so crazy. So we're going to keep talking about TechChill and like what it means and what kind of people have been there. But then I also want to get into your company that you have now. sticking with Tech Chill just for a bit longer, what kind of people have come and participated in Tech Chill?
Oh my God, so many. But maybe for someone who probably I'm going to name drop a few, right?
Yeah, please do.
So we have had like the founder of Evan Bright coming over, the like founder of Index Ventures, which is one of the most prominent venture firms in Europe in general. We've had people from Google, like actual chief executive people from the data and decision making part. We've had exactly as you mentioned the founding CTO of AngelList coming over, and it's hard to recon actually.
To like, Latvia. Yeah. They're coming to Latvia.
I know,
right? It's amazing. You're getting them to come to the Baltics.
Whenever you say that, I feel like this is just too crazy because, yeah, it just, you know, it would never happen if we wouldn't build the strong brand that we've built, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you have an interesting brand story, if you could kind of like share the beginnings of it. In the beginning, it was like a byproduct of TechCrunch or something?
Yeah. So at the very beginning, when we were first starting up, it was actually called TechCrunch Baltics. And everyone knows what's TechCrunch, right?
Yeah.
So the chief editor, Mike Butcher, everyone knows basically, came over and like hosted the event.
Yeah.
And we actually created a website for that. So it was dcbaltics.com.
Yeah.
And then like a year later, he was like, yeah, guys, well, now you have to keep that running for yourselves, but you can get to hold our name.
So yeah, he was like, use TechCrunch.
Yeah, you can't use it anymore. So I'm just, you know, we did this. It was cool, but now you have to live on yourselves.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
with
yeah.
yourselves.
Yeah, on your own.
And we were like, yeah, we've created this website, and at that point we were like, and we don't really have money for a new website or like for a domain or whatsoever, but let's just, you know, brainstorm around the name. So we were brainstorming, and then it all of a sudden, like, tcbaltics.com should be like techchillbaltics.com. Yeah. Oh yeah, like we love tech most certainly, and we like chill, and we always have wanted for the event itself to be like, you know, very founders focused and very friendly and very soulful. And it all comes down to chill anyways, you know.
Totally.
To have cool people over.
To chill together.
Yeah, to chill together in the chilliest place on earth at the chilliest time, you know, which is February. And it's always like minus Celsius, couple of degrees at least. yeah, so then we started like came up with the Tech Chill name, and over time we just also dropped the Baltics, and now we're just a cool Tech Chill.
That's cool. And okay, so you've had all these people here. It's been really incredible, and you've led a tremendous conference that is ever growing. And recently you have gone off to do your thing. Let's talk about the transition.
Yeah.
And was that super hard to let go of this thing that you've been working on for years now?
Yeah. So basically the transition that we had was something that I always wanted for TechChill to have. So when the whole organization started.
And how many attendees did you have when it first started?
When I first started, it had like 350.
And now?
2,100.
Incredible. Yeah.
Just over 3 years. So the transition was something that I always wanted for the organization to have. So I see TechChill as a platform for young individuals as myself to grow using that platform. So people with strong leadership abilities, people who gets this space as an exciting one, just come into our accelerator as TechChill Foundation, kind of get to tap into all the stakeholding parts of the ecosystem building. So startups, government, corporates, investors, community organizations, they understand the whole drill, you know. This is the first encounter they are having, so it's TechChill. And then after they have accelerated, they understood how to work in this space, what it is about, what's the goal here, and what are the values, they get to choose which way of those they want to, you know, pursue them further. So that's how we see it. We see it as an educational platform for our people here. And once I realized that I have done everything that I wanted for Tech Chill, you know, to grow it to a place where we can be self-sustaining, where we can afford to have people full-time during the whole year, when we have enough projects to work on, and when we have a strong enough network, that's when I saw myself, you know, giving up the crown. And yeah, it felt good. It felt really good because I saw the legacy, and I saw that one person that should be stepping in my shoes, and it was a no-brainer. I knew that I'm gonna be leaving the managing position a half a year before I left already. Yeah. You know, that was really planned thing.
And you went on, and
yeah,
your company
so
now.
I have always, you know, talked about startups and like entrepreneurship and how exciting it is to build global ventures and scale things. So I wanted to actually understand how can you build a startup?
Yeah.
How can you build a product company from ground to up, you know? And then that's the path I kind of like chose.
And what's your new company called?
It's called Kuro Protocol.
And what do they do?
So we are building another platform, which is going to incentivize people to do more sustainable actions. And apart from the fact that we are, you know, tackling a very small thing, which is a climate change. So I've been always about the impactful missions. And when I was approached by the creator of this idea, I was like, wow. This is huge and this is big, and I definitely want to be part of it. So it's a digital coin, which is going to reward people for competing different kind of actions. And all of those actions are lined up with the United Nations sustainability goals. So imagine yourself as producing solar energy. We're going to pay you for that. Imagine myself riding a lime or a bird instead of a car. I'm going to pay myself for that. Because the idea behind it is that everything sustainable that we have here today has always been subsidized. So wind and solar energy industries have never been here. Like, they have never existed if there wouldn't be subsidies. So I feel like, why are we not, you know, tackling the most important part, which is the people behavior? And all of a sudden, if you can't pay to people to do stuff, that's the only thing they have ever understood. You know, why not to tackle the most pressing one? Just start from the people.
And where is your new company based?
It's based in Riga.
Because I know you go to Los Angeles quite often as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I do. But it's just because of my personal things. And also just to connect in the U.S. And also I feel like Los Angeles is one place where a lot of forward-thinking impact and entrepreneurs are living at these days, including Elon Musk, which I want to meet so bad.
he just hosted a meme review on PewDiePie's channel.
Oh, I did. Yeah. It's based in Riga, but the operations will be taking place in Berlin. So we are right now with the company at a stage when we have our pilot product ready, and we're about to do the pilot with the first partner we have, which is a massive solar energy producer in Central Europe. It's called Sonnen, and they're awesome because you know, it's kind of funny because they're, you know, in this corporate space, but they, you know, believe in our product. And
yeah,
they like, oh yeah, definitely. Like, our households should do this for sure. And yeah, so it's going to be happening in Berlin, and we're going to be entering the POC mode, which is a proof of concept, in a couple of months.
And how many people are on your team?
Currently we're 4 full-time. And then we have like hands-on advisors around the world.
And have you raised money yet?
Yeah, up to date, we have raised 400K in seed. That all went to the product. And right now we're raising another fund for the POC mainly, and it's 2 million.
Ah, so exciting and
very
difficult.
Very exciting and very difficult because exactly as you said, this space, the sustainability and impact companies, it's not something that venture capitalists are backing, you know, especially at the place where we are right now, that we have to prove that this is actually going to work, you know. And that's why we're just now, you know, trying to see what's out there and like going after such investors as, you know, from with the impact background, like angels, entrepreneurs themselves, wealthy individuals, and so on.
Your two main experiences in the entrepreneurial world, they're very unique because you kind of went, you became a leader in an industry or an organization where you didn't have previous leadership skills and you're self-taught. And I feel like you're doing that in the impact space again, just like you did in the conference space. What kind of guidance can you give everybody listening on how to believe in themselves in that process? Because it's very unique that that you dove in and made it happen.
Yeah. Well, that's a hard question to be asked.
Did you ever have days where you doubted yourself? Like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah. But actually very few only. Because I have always kind of like believed in my spirit. Let's just call it that way. I have always believed that if if I see my tactics like very clear, I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. You know, I can, if I map out how I'm going to get from point A to point Z and I know exactly how it's going to look like, then it has always been easy for me. Well, not easy. It's just, you know, you have my mind is very rational. So that's why I tend to work also very rationally. And one of the key strengths that I have, you know, found into myself is that I always remember things. Like, I never let go of anything.
Right.
I let go of course, of like, you know, some situations that are not needed for myself, but I always, always remember everything that's work-wise. It, like, things just don't get passed by me. Even if, you know, the pace is so crowded with everything, I just kind of see the whole, you know, playground.
Right. And what has there been a book in your journey that you felt really inspired by that really moved you?
I'm a person that is really into biographies.
Yeah.
So I've read a couple of books around, you know, how to build stuff and, you know, the building blocks and so on. But the ones that really inspire me are the biographies. Of course, you can never tell how much of that is true, you know,
because
they're pretty much like 50-50. You can never tell if that's really curated material from the person or it's actually true, you know.
Right.
But still, you know, whenever I'm reading about some inspiring entrepreneurs and how they've gone to that place to where they are now, it lifts me up very much.
Do you have a favorite like tech tool, app, or website that you use to stay on top of things or to get things done?
Yeah. So basically, I use Twitter to be updated all the time on what's happening in the space. So I follow basically every account there is out when it comes to tech space. I also like to have Slack very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm into different type of Slack groups besides the team ones. So I feel like the content there is also very good. And I would like to actually someday be able to explore Reddit.
I know. I'm not super into Reddit either. And it's so important. Yes.
Because my partner / boyfriend loves Reddit so much. And I feel like he's always, you know, one step ahead of me.
Yeah, totally.
Into everything around this scene. But yeah, I haven't found a way how to, you know, be friends with Reddit yet. So I feel like I have to at some stage of my life, but yeah, not yet.
So I kind of feel that way about Slack, where I don't know where to integrate Slack into my life when it comes to time management. How do you check Slack? Do you have a method of checking Slack? Are you on it every morning or just as you get the messages? Do you have any kind of method?
I'm like very much online person. And that's one of the things why people don't, you know, why I see everything or why I kind of have this knowledge of everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm always so available to everyone.
Yeah.
And whenever someone hits me up, I immediately answer, like immediately, just to avoid that there is some kind of a log, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So whenever there is a Slack message, it's it has to be answered or replied like in a couple of minutes. Tops.
Yeah. It's so good, but also so hard because as you know, tech people, when do we turn off? It's crazy. When do we take time to chill?
Yeah, that's when. Well, basically, yeah. So, for example, my phone is all the time on a night shift.
Yeah.
So people can't actually call me.
Right.
During the day, and I just time to time just see the notifications and then reply to those from the phone side.
No, totally get it. And there's so many people listening right now. If we could do something as a community to support and celebrate you and help accelerate you forward in your success with your new company, what would that ask be? What's something that we could do as a community to help you move forward?
Well, I feel like, you know, if there's someone out there listening right now and is really into sustainability and wants to, you know, solve real issues and help founders to solve those, then they should be probably hitting me up.
And how can they get in touch with you?
Just via email.
And you could message Maria at Marija at, and do you want to do?
Curio.io.
And could you spell it for everybody?
Q-U-R-O. .io.
Yeah, you five for that. It's really hard as a European because I sound like E's.
great job. This is literally the first time when I, you know, try to not fuck up my spelling. Okay.
Is this your first podcast or no?
It is.
No way.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. So many women that we interview, it's their first podcast. And I think that's really exciting to hear because a lot of people think, oh, I'm not good enough to be on the podcast. And they tell ourselves the story. I do it to me too. And so to hear that so many women who have been on the Women in Tech podcast, this is their first podcast, it means like any opportunity is within our access. We just have to, just like you've done with your companies,
embrace it.
You just have to embrace it. You have to go after it. You want to make sure not to close your own doors of opportunity. Yeah.
I totally agree.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. You're extraordinary. Make sure to connect with Maria. I think she's just absolutely lovely. To connect and collaborate with more incredible women in tech around the world, go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. You could say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. I will see you guys, hear you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. This is Maria, the founder and the former CEO of TechChill, currently on the path of fighting climate change with Corel Protocol. TechChill is the leading Baltic tech event. Corel Protocol is fighting climate change via incentivizing people to do more sustainable actions. I'm based in Riga, Latvia. You're listening to Women in Tech.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision.